You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So Biden's plans to tackle climate change may result in a lot of changes in the U.S. as Biden plans on investing almost $2 trillion into climate change within the next 10 years. Following the lack of action and climate skepticism shown in the Trump administration, as America and China are overall two of the biggest climate polluters in the world, I decided to talk to San Francisco-based Wei Tai Quak, who is a solar energy professional and climate activist with the Climate Reality Project, on how America can begin to lead countries like New Zealand into more action and how we can work together to tackle this climate issue. Do you think these are achievable goals, especially in such a divided nation and with big oil and fuel companies so tied up in the government and funding campaigns?
I definitely think they're very ambitious goals, and particularly since the last 4 years, the agenda from the top has been, you know, not in the same direction. So this would be a reversal of directions for the United States. Internationally, I think it's great news that President Biden has rejoined the Paris Agreement, because it sends a message to the rest of the world that the United States is intending to re-engage globally on what is a global problem, right? This is a problem so big that it's not just the United States or any single country in the world that needs to solve it. We must do it together. We must look for wherever there's innovation and solutions. The countries need to work together. And coming out on day one with an announcement that President Biden intends to work together with the world again, I think it's extremely important, setting the tone for collaboration internationally. Domestically, you're right, he is planning to spend close to $2 trillion on various infrastructure to drive clean electrification. Actually, by 2035, his goal is to have the electricity grid in the United States be carbon-free. And many of those dollars will flow into creating a million jobs in the automotive industry for electric vehicles and EV charging infrastructure. I think he's planning to put some of those dollars into clean buildings and making sure that 4 million commercial buildings and 2 million residential homes are weatherized and upgraded. And so a lot of that, the question is, I think that the goal, one of his campaign slogans, was to build back better, building back better from the COVID crisis. But if you're going to use all these stimulus dollars to bring jobs back and bring the economy back, let's also use that to solve the climate crisis at the same time. So do I think that? I think that, you know, to the extent we can be smart about how we deploy those dollars and solve multiple problems at the same time, I do hope that the public in America will embrace that type of initiative and will say, yes, these are good. It's not just to solve the climate crisis, which is an existential crisis and certainly needs to be solved, but it will also be designed to provide shorter-term benefits like job creation and getting the economy going again. And particularly, I'm personally very pleased to see that he's made environmental justice and the focus on disadvantaged and poor communities who have been disproportionately impacted by climate change in America to be the major beneficiaries of this spending. So I think 40% of the budgeted dollar flows and benefits are supposed to go into disadvantaged communities and investment in you know, the communities in America who have suffered the greatest from over decades, but in particular under COVID. So this all gets me quite hopeful that we turn a new leaf here and we make progress.
Yeah, definitely a worldwide effort would be needed to combat something such as climate change, which obviously affects everyone, especially marginalized communities. Over the past 30 years, out of all 45 Annex 1 countries, New Zealand, which is where our listeners are based, had the second worst record of emission increases besides Turkey. And since 1990, carbon emissions have increased here by nearly 60%. How do you think Biden's name and shame plan, as well as being a direct example as a superpower, will affect or mobilize action around the world?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not so familiar with New Zealand, but I would say that America stepping back into the Paris Climate Agreement is an important step at setting, having a little bit more moral authority, I think, to just say, look, we're going to participate again. We were the only country, the United States, to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. You know, thankfully, over the last 4 years, not one single other of the 190-plus countries got out of the Paris Agreement except the United States. So I think for the U.S. to step back in is the first most important thing to show that we are, every country needs to be willing to take serious action. And to the extent, you know, the United States, you've mentioned for New Zealand being one of the biggest carbon polluters, but the United States and China account for over 40% of the world's carbon pollution. So these two countries, the U.S. and China, need to also be the ones to set an example. And we all have to deal with the work in our own backyard, in our own countries, and reinforce our commitment to being part of the global effort in our own country. So I hope that we can do our job here in the U.S. and that would inspire other countries to do the job in their countries too.
Yeah, and how do you think Americans and or Kiwis or just daily people can support climate change action in our everyday lives that would help streamline efforts that Biden and potentially Jacinda are pushing towards?
Right. Well, I think, you know, when I first got involved as a climate activist 10, 15 years ago, I really thought it was overwhelming and there was almost nothing we could do to be part of the solution as individuals. But over the last decade, I've learned that there are actually many, many solutions to climate change and that there are actually tons of things that we can do as individuals to help, whether we live in New Zealand or whether we live in California. And the number one thing we can all do is to speak up and to talk about climate change. If we don't talk about it and we don't raise everybody else's awareness about it, then it's not going to get solved by itself. So speaking up is something every one of us can do. We can do it in our own social circles, with our families and our friends and our school communities. And we can speak up in media, and we can speak up at the federal, at our government levels too. So I think that's something everybody can do. And then as a next step, other things we can do with, I mentioned with our transportation and the cars that we choose to purchase or the buildings we live in, we can look for, you know, ways that we can reduce or remove fossil fuels from those. So particularly, I think agriculture is big in both of our countries, and there's a growing movement for sustainable agriculture or regenerative agriculture as opposed to purely extractive agriculture. And this is a new movement that I've seen growing in the last couple years, where farmers want to get involved, and we should incentivize them for if they can grow their crops and raise their animals in a way that is more climate friendly, then that those are all part of the solution. So I'm actually pretty hopeful that as I studied this issue more, there are actually many, many solutions. So I think it's just a matter of talking about them, having conversations with our communities, and getting our attention focused on it, and those solutions start to reveal themselves. They're already there. They don't have to be invented.
That was American climate activist and solar energy professional Beitai Kwek on how Biden is planning on tackling the climate crisis and how other countries can follow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.